This is a very fluid situation. I would hesitate to comment on operations beyond, you know, the rocket fire that is clearly targeting innocent civilians in Israel. So I would hesitate to speak to specific operations that have just occurred. But the broader principle of self-defense is something we stand by on behalf of Israel.
Yeah, but do you think that an Israeli military response to the rockets coming in, a military response to the rockets coming in is covered by this broader rubric of self-defense, right?
Self-defense often does authorize the use of force.
Thank you, Matt. I want to ask about East Jerusalem, but let's talk about what you said about the principle of self-defense. Does that in any way apply to the Palestinians? Do they have a right to self-defense?
Against
Do Palestinians
who?
Have a right to self-defense?
In broadly speaking, Saeed, we believe in the concept of self-defense. We believe it applies to any state. I don't think that I certainly wouldn't want my words to be construed as.
I understand. I want to ask you, Israel. I don't want to harp on this either. But you know, the Israelis killed 13 people just now. You know, including maybe five or six children. Do you condemn that?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Actually, that was the Hamas rocket. Do you want receipts on that? Because I'm physically made of receipts right now. I'm made of actual paper right now. I mean, do we want to do this today? Because I did legs earlier, and I hate the world. I know. You know what? You'd be glad that it happened so close to radio time when I can actually sit in the chair without falling out. Just be glad. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's Wednesday. It's Face Punch Wednesday. Normally it should be Friday, but, you know, it's who cares? I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. So there's three big things that I'm following. And then, of course, we always have cancel culture every day. And I'm going to get to the GOP stuff later, because right now I want to strangle all the Republicans, rhetorically speaking. I'm just fed up. I'm infuriated. But at the same time, I'm also paying attention to a way bigger story that has to do with everything that's happening in Israel right now, and kind of the it's really an absolute challenge to Joe Biden and the Biden administration, because I'm kind of, why is it that, you know, Trump releases a statement on stuff and you don't hear anything from Biden? There hasn't been a word from the actual president of the United States on anything that we've seen. Now, keep in mind, this is like our greatest ally in the area. They are surrounded by people who think we are the great Satan. They're surrounded by, well, then an ocean to the back. So, I mean, technically, you know, the Med's not, you know. That seems like it's kind of significant. It's like one of your friends getting hit, and then where are you at? You don't say nothing? You don't even send flowers? You know, a get well card? Or a poke on Facebook? I don't know. Or are you gonna try to get their attention on Snapchat? I mean, like how not even nothing? It's really depressing now that I think about it. Nothing from him. Now, I'm not saying this as a way to, oh, here's the Biden administration not, you know, showing up again, but as a taxpaying American, a massively taxpaying American, still salty. I kind of want to know where the administration is with us. As I wrote in my newsletter last night, you know, you guys know I'm pretty libertarian about spending, and I'm actually capital L libertarian about spending. And I have a pretty, I don't like labels. I don't like trying to say that you're a Republican or libertarian or this or that. I'm just like somebody who likes the Constitution and wants to be left alone, because I cannot stand the fealty and tribalism of parties. Whoever is the candidate that's going to leave me alone the most, that's the person I'm going to vote for. Who's going to leave me alone and not talk to me unless I have a question. I don't even want to see you. I don't want to see an email from you. Leave me alone and let's pretend you don't even exist until I need you. Right? How about that? That's what I like. That's the kind of candidate I like. And so Article 1, Section 8, all the enumerated powers of our government, out of all of the spending and everything else that we've seen over the past decade, I would even go further than that. A lot of people get very upset and they say, oh, well, we shouldn't be sending money, you know, to Israel and blah, blah, blah. Well, it was for the Iron Dome. And have you seen, I have like so many videos here in front of me. Have you seen the Iron Dome in action? It's actually one of the most unbelievable things I've seen. I spent almost like, well, this is one of the reasons why I was up so late last night, because I wouldn't stop watching these videos. It's like Star Wars. I'm waiting for the Sith to show up and then somebody to chop off Luke's hand. It's It was pretty amazing. Do you remember when they, when and I by do you remember? I didn't remember because I was like a toddler, but I know history. They mocked Reagan for when Reagan said he wanted to shoot stuff out of the sky. Now look. Oh, by the way, who's shooting stuff out of the sky? Look at that. So that's what the funding went for. And I consider it to be this, and this is that advanced defense system. I consider this to be a, you're paying for national security. Because if you allow terrorist forces to occupy such a prime spot geographically, that's going to be bad news bear for the United States. I don't want to spend money on teaching critical race theory in school. I don't, there's a million things that I don't want to spend money on. If it doesn't fall under Article 1, Section 8, it should be completely cut, period. But if there's anything for which I can be prevailed upon to spend my money, it's going to make sure that I have an ally and a spot there on the med that we can keep safe and keep out of the hands of terrorists. So Hamas, let's just like get it out quick because I got a million things to get to in this segment. Hamas started this. You had over 120 rockets. And in fact, one of their rockets, they killed a bunch of their own people with their own damn rocket. Did you guys read about this? They killed their own people. And then one of their propaganda outlets tried to spin it and say it was Israeli. But there's like actual video of them launching it off a roof somewhere and then it goes haywire and kills a bunch of people. But it didn't even get out of Gaza. So what in the world? They said there's all kinds of amazing footage of I mean, all of, I mean, unbelievable. The rocket, this was fired from Gaza. Actually, it did get out of Gaza. It was fired from Gaza and it hit the courtyard of a home of this Lod, which is one Israeli city, and it killed a Muslim family. They were Palestinians. It killed them. They have video of like the literal trajectory. You can see it, and it, because everybody was outside filming everything. The family, the youngest was a 16-year-old girl. And there were Palestinians that were in uproar over this because this wasn't the only instance where one of their rockets killed a Palestinian family. And then they tried going around saying it was they would take the same photos, but they would flip them and put them up on social media and be like, look, Israel killed this family. Do you realize you can still do a reverse photo search? It amazes me. And then there were like verified journalists that on our side that were pushing this out. Here's what's happening. This all has to do with the timing of this is, yes, it's, as the kids would say, very sus. The whole situation with this has to do with the Abraham Accords. And you're going to see the media narrative, by the way, you're going to see this media narrative develop. I've already seen it, and I've been tracking a number of different stories on this. The media narrative is going to be that the Abraham Accords were unsuccessful because it did not quell violence between Israel and Gaza, between Israel, Palestine, and Hamas. That wasn't the point of the Abraham Accords. In fact, Jared Kushner, when he was out even promoting and talking to world leaders about solidifying the Abraham Accords, publicly and repeatedly acknowledged that this is not ever going to solve anything with this situation with this area, because when you have the leader of a sovereign entity say that the other sovereign entity, and I quote, doesn't have the right to exist, end quote, there's no room for diplomacy. And so all of these rockets, you're basically looking at Iranian dollars going up in the sky because Iran funds Hamas. Iran is mad because the whole point of the Abraham Accords was to just cut Palestinian participation out, because you're not going to get people who don't believe that you should exist to talk to you. It was all about cutting them out, normalizing relations with the Arab world, bypassing Iran and their proxies. Iran is mad about this because they have this sectarian war that's been going on between them and UAE and Saudi Arabia for longer than any of us have been alive, and it's going to continue far past all of us are dead and turned into worm food. So this is the simple truth of it. The Abraham Accords were all about normalizing those relations. You had the agreement with Bahrain, with UAE. For the first time ever, there were kosher restaurants that were opening up in UAE. diplomats in each other's countries, embassies in each other's countries, trade commencing, direct lines of communication, like literal, actual, physical lines of communication that didn't exist before, infrastructure, you could say, being created. Normalized relations, which everyone benefits from. And Iran is livid. They realize that the Biden administration is basically not there. John Kerry is so desperate to bring Iran on board. Mr. Theresa Hines, so desperate to bring Iran on board. That's what this is all about. You realize that they even hit a pipeline. What was it? The Ashkelon pipeline. They hit one of their rockets hit yesterday. Now you're going to start, if they're not careful, they're going to make some of these other Arab nations mad. Because now you're starting to mess with their business. And that's because even when they didn't have normalized relations, there was still a business relationship. Like, for instance, between UAE and Israel. And I know it went into, I know that there was like some energy stuff and some diamond trade and all that, all those other things. So that's, we're going to talk more about this, but that's the 30,000 foot view. Also, this morning, Liz Cheney voted out of leadership. It was a voice vote, which I thought was weird. So technically, it's like a secretive vote. It was a voice vote, which I thought was lame. But I think they did that to protect people. I don't know. That seemed lame to me. But Liz Cheney voted out of leadership by the House GOP. And so this, and we're going to play some audio from this because I don't think that Liz Cheney has done herself any favors. I really do believe more and more that she is committed to the policy of blowing everything up because she thinks that when populism wanes or when Trump's influence, his influence passes, that she'll be able to come in and control the party. But that's not going to happen. There's not going to be a Cheney dynasty. And I think the best chance that she had of actually accumulating more power and influence within the Republican Party, no one else did that to her. Trump did not do that to her. She did that to herself. As rockets were raining down on Israel and making direct hits to cities because the overwhelming amount of rockets being launched by Hamas even was honestly too much even for the Iron Dome. It wasn't able to get everything. And that's why you have the fatalities that you do. As this was taking place, as the Colonial Pipeline was still down because of a ransomware attack, and there's no definitive ETA as to when it's going to be back up. You've got gas lines all around the southeastern portion of the United States. The Fed is warning of inflation. You have the jobs numbers that you do. And Liz Cheney's on the floor talking about Donald Trump. Even if you hated Trump, oh my gosh, could you be more tone deaf? There's so many other things that are happening and everyone's focusing on this big giant fluff circle of power jockeying. Are you kidding me? I had a different word that I wanted to say, but I'm trying to be nice.
Thank you.
I stopped myself there in the 11th hour. So we got a lot to touch on today. By the way, O.J. Simpson weighed in on that even. You know, because we really needed the valuable O.J. Simpson vote on House leadership. So we're going to talk about this and so much more. You guys want to buckle up. It's probably going to be a fast show, actually. And then we're going to talk to the Missouri AG because there's a lot of other stuff happening as well that we need to hit, including coronavirus restrictions, whether they're being lifted. I have a fascinating study for you that I want to share, so you don't want to miss it. All right, folks, it's time for some spring cleaning. Toss out your old flannel, your winter doldrums, and that ratty 2020 sleepwear. It's time to put on clothes, folks. Step into comfort and a fresh new you in new Tommy John loungewear and pajamas. Loungewear is like fancy pajamas. I love my Tommy John's loungewear. It's quality comfort. And when you start every morning in Tommy John loungewear, you're just that much more comfortable. So you can do everything better. See, this is why Tommy John doesn't have customers. They have fanatics. Tommy John loungewear and pajamas are guaranteed to fit perfectly with comfy, non-pilling micro-modal fabric, which means no lint balls or fuzz, and luxuriously soft tri-blend fabric with a four-way stretch. It's the same level of comfort and innovation that goes into everything Tommy John makes, including, ladies, their brassieres with non-slip straps, twice the adjustability of competing brands, and the softest second skin fabric for the perfect fit. Returns and exchanges are free, and right now you'll get 20% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Dana. Get 20% off at TommyJohn.com/Dana. TommyJohn.com/Dana. See site for details.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I wish I would have had my 12 o'clock headlines and my 11 o'clock headlines because I really wanted to get to the shrunken head thing. I just don't even want to talk about anything else. Indian doctors are warning against using cow feces as a coronavirus cure. Okay, so how does one even get to that point where you have to be told to not do that? at a large scale. And where does one even get the idea? So doctors are saying, please do not completely cover yourself in cow feces because it does not boost immunity. And it also does not help treat the coronavirus. And Dr. Jalal, who is the national president of the Indian Medical Association, told Reuters, yes, we know that we believe the cow is sacred. People, please stop spreading its feces on yourself. Stop it. Stop it. And then apparently it's washed off with buttermilk, which is even weirder to me. I don't understand that, but okay. I mean, it seems like that's kind of a waste of buttermilk, but, you know, just please be careful doing weird stuff. That's like the equivalent of the suburban mom with her oils. No offense, but it is, okay? All right, I'm going to get so much hate mail. Caitlyn Jenner says he didn't vote in 2020. Records show he did. I don't even care. I really don't.
Or did he really vote, or was somebody else fake vote?
Ooh, great question. It could be. Who knows? Maybe it was fraud. A brain implant made mice immediately become friends. I hope nothing like this is ever made for humans, because I don't want to be friends with really anybody. A team of scientists found that by activating neural implants they embedded on mice's skulls, the mice would immediately start to engage each other and become friends. I feel like this is just a Black Mirror episode, and this is the future of humanity. They're going to make everybody be friends with each other. You can still not, like, you know, tolerate and get along with people without being friends. You know what I'm saying? But this is, why are they even studying this? Why are you studying how to make living creatures be friends with each other? Yeah, this was actually published in Nature Neuroscience. I'm terrified of this. And a Virginia boy sells Pokemon cards to fund treatment for a sick puppy. And I really think that this kid, he deserves a personal visit from Pikachu. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Super Beats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways: by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Want a deeper dive into the Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Area of the country there. This is why we have doubled down on ensuring that there's an ability to truck oil in, gas in. But it's the pipe is the best way to go. And so that's why hopefully this company, Colonial, will, in fact, be able to restore operations by the end of the week.
She didn't say that. It's Jennifer Granholm, who is the energy secretary.
Caught me off guard.
Well, we're talking about news and facts, Kane.
My bad.
For shame.
My bad.
For shame. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Whew, DanaLash.com. So that is, so Jennifer Granholm, she says, yeah, you know what? She's talking about transportation of, this is in the context of the, of a question about the Colonial Pipeline, which apparently they still have no ETA as to when they're going to have that back. That's, and it looks more and more like it's some shady Russian proxy action, which actually is a great album name. Shady Russian proxy action. Say that fast. Yeah, let's make sure we got to put that up on the T-shirt. Put it on a T-shirt somewhere. And ooh, other sidebar: Nazi Barbie is also a great band name. We'll come back to that later. So Jennifer Granholm she's answering a question about transportation of fuel with regards to the Colonial Pipeline, because I mean we're still I keep hearing from some energy experts and you know, economists that they're saying that if this is still the situation by close of business Friday, then all hell is going to break loose. But then I hear, well, it can actually go a little bit over the weekend. So I think that there is some, you know, gray area there. However, if we're going into next week with this, yeah, it's going to, don't put gas in a plastic bag. I think that is the older generation's version of eating Tide Pods. I was, because I, there's no reason why I should have seen, or you or anybody should have seen, the amount of photos or video that we saw yesterday of people like this, like just like yesterday, the past 2 days, putting gas in plastic bags. There's no reason. There's no reason for that. Don't do that. Don't. Because that's I mean, if you have a death wish, still don't do that. So she was discussing, you know, how pipelines, this is the best way to transport stuff. So basically, you're speaking in favor of the Keystone Pipeline, yep, which was never about drilling or stopping production of energy. It was only about simply transporting it. That was it, the simple transportation of it, which I still don't know why anybody would be against having a pipeline as opposed to using more fossil fuels to load it onto trains, which are way more dangerous to transport fuel. So I'm just, you know, I'm going to put that out there. So this, and she said this was, it was pretty stunning that was her remarks. So I don't know. I mean, the Colonial Pipeline situation, still no really word from Joe Biden. Where is he? I mean, that's a serious question. Do you think that it projects any kind of strength towards adversaries overseas if the president of the United States isn't speaking out about like some of these severe, serious issues here? Oh, my goodness. Now, anyway, let's, you know, Ron DeSantis, audio soundbite 8. At least somebody's speaking up about this. God love Ron DeSantis. This is him. He addressed it already. Listen.
This is something that's a very serious attack on critical infrastructure in our country. This pipeline actually doesn't touch Florida, but it does feed into many of our gas stations. So we've declared a state of emergency. We're lifting restrictions to be able to get more fuel into pumps. But the Biden administration needs to take this seriously. Their initial response is, oh, this is a private pipeline, and just shrug your shoulders. This is important infrastructure for our country, and it could impact our economy greatly if they don't respond.
True. Now, Jen Psaki, I mean, because they're having the press conference right now, and I want to get some audio on this, but she was asked about, everybody's asking about the Republican vote. Nobody cares. It is a glorified vanity circle. Nobody cares. And this is a gas pipeline that was attacked that is jeopardizing, really, I mean, it becomes a national security issue at some point. You got, like I said, you got people putting gas in plastic bags. You have an ally that's being attacked. And you're talking about the vote for the House Leadership Conference. Who's going to be conference chair? Oh, really? Good heavens. So I just, you know, think that, and where's Joe? Nobody's asking that question. Where's Joe? Where's the president? He hasn't made any response on this at all whatsoever. I hope that maybe, what is it, Peter Ducey? Can Peter Ducey? It'd be great if he could actually.
Nobody else is doing it.
Yeah. So, he's meeting with Nancy Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy. And he's like, yes, I can work with Kevin McCarthy. Maybe like ask him about, what about that? When are we going to see Colonial Pipeline back on track? Or is that a private decision? The gas lines, that's all just a private decision, right? Okay, so we talk about this vote thing because I'm just aggravated. This kind of stuff I think is so dumb. I want to play for you a couple of audio sound bites, and we'll talk about this more later on because there's just so much to get to. Yesterday... I think that there were a couple. So, okay, this was yesterday on the floor. This was audio soundbite 25. This was before the vote. That was this morning. Listen.
Today we face a threat America has never seen before. A former president who provoked a violent attack on this Capitol in an effort to steal the election has resumed his aggressive effort to convince Americans that the election was stolen from him. He risks inciting further violence. Millions of Americans have been misled by the former president. They have heard only his words, but not the truth, as he continues to undermine our democratic process, sowing seeds of doubt
in a number of states
about whether democracy really works at all.
You know, because of a pipeline attack on one of our pipelines for energy. Has Liz Cheney gotten this? I don't dislike her. I've met her before. She follows me on Twitter. I don't dislike her. But you know, at the same time, this is so tone deaf. I mean, this is, does she not want to be in office anymore? She just changed her mind. I keep saying everyone, I keep seeing some of these people go, this is 4D chess. And I'm like, actually, it's not, though. Because she's going to probably lose her seat in Wyoming at this point, judging by polling. And I looked at the polling data. I looked at it again last night. I looked at the crosstabs. I looked at the sample sizes. I mean, it's not really like you're going to like get more Democrats over Republicans or independently left-leaning people than, you know, conservative people in these surveys. But it was pretty consistent. And they were pretty wide swaths of the electorate in her state. So that's troubling. Now, I realize everyone keeps going, oh, this is her long game. Okay, what is the long game? She thinks that populism is going to wane. And I've always said, I don't dislike populism, but I only like it in small amounts. Because I think, as with anything, people can get carried away with it. So if she thinks that populism is going to wane, haven't they been saying that since 2008? And here we are in 2021, and it hasn't shown any signs of slowing down. If she thinks that she's going to outlast Trump's influence, and I think that that is a really myopic approach. And I don't know that I want anyone who thinks that and approaches strategy based on that premise as conference chair. And here's why: because this isn't about Trump. Trump didn't direct the feelings and the attitudes of all these people. Trump was a symptom of how people felt. Keep in mind, there were a lot of people like me, that were very disgruntled with both sides. We did not like the whole too big to fail thing. We did not like the whole, you know, let's bail out the banks. We did not like the establishment to common core, which was the No Child Left Behind, which I still think that's its predecessor. There were a lot of things that we disliked. We did not like the nation building and every other country and the high taxes and the corporate cronyism. We didn't like any of that stuff. And so all of the Tea Party was a symptom of that. And Trump is a symptom of the changing sentiments post Tea Party. And so this idea that if you just somehow toxify Trump, that you're going to change the feelings of your base. That's a really naive and JV outlook. That is not an in-depth analysis of the base or why the base is reacting in the manner that they are. The base wanted a fighter, but they didn't want someone who fought them. They wanted someone who fought the high taxation, the restriction of rights, all of those issues that really pretty much everybody can kind of find some common ground on. That's one of the reasons why a coalition, which is the more formal term for Big Tent, why that was created after Trump was elected, and even while he was being elected. Her approach like this is not, she's not going to, either. She may outlast Trump, I don't think she will, but she won't outlast the voters. And I've said, I mean, even before she even ran for office, I said she's going to try to go for higher office. She'll try to go for a House leadership position. Then she was elected to the House. And I'm like, I know she has White House ambition, but this isn't the way to do it. I know that there was one story. What is it? Where they had tens of Republicans, including former officials, are threatening to split from the GOP. Did you guys hear about this? It's a New York Times piece. They said 100 Republicans, some former election officials, they released a letter threatening to form a third party if the GOP doesn't make certain changes. So they, like, one of them is Miles Taylor, who is a Department of Homeland Security. And I think that talking about forming a third party, this is something that Trump didn't even like. He didn't like this discussion, and he hit it back, you know, several times. I just think this is dumb right now. And I think the infighting is so stupid. It is just bad strategy. But at the same time, do you remember a couple of weeks ago when I was telling you about the Washington thing, about how he was writing this letter to, Hancock or Adams? And he was just mad. Washington had such a temper. But who was it? Jefferson said that it was experience and wisdom that restrained it. But when those restraints were broken, if he was made quite angry, then Katie barred the door because he was bigger than everybody. And Washington was so mad. He was so frustrated because he was trying to get all these Minutemen and all these colonists to act as one single fighting unit. And he said that they were incorrigible and that they are so independent and so suspicious of authority that they actually refused to work together. And it's funny. I'm getting kind of that same flavor a little bit with this, you know, in a way. There's only so far you're going to be able to browbeat people into cooperating. But I just hope that people see that there is a greater threat that exists outside of the choir. You know what I'm saying? So maybe focus on that. But this is just bad. By the way, O.J. Simpson weighed in. You guys were waiting for that headline, weren't you? I know you were. Yeah. So O.J. Simpson, he tweeted, I got to admit, I was not a fan of... it was a video that he posted to Twitter. He goes, I got to admit, I was not a fan of Liz Cheney. Don't get me wrong. I'm 50-50 on her politics, and I didn't like her. But I realized that I didn't like her because it had to do with her father, blah, blah, blah. Go ahead and play it. I can't believe we're playing this.
Watching cable news is all about Liz Cheney. Now, I got to admit, I was not a fan of Liz Cheney. Don't get me wrong. I'm 50-50 on her politics, but I didn't like her. And then I just realized recently the reason I didn't like her had to do with her father, probably my least favorite politician of my adult life, former Vice President Dick Cheney. Then I saw a show the other day, and I saw a quote by Voltaire that said that patriotism was the enemy of mankind. Thought about that a little bit. Somehow I started thinking about the Republican Party.
Well, we have the valuable O.J. Simpson weigh in on this. Oh, man alive. And then you have little Adam Kinzinger. What would you say?
I was going to say O.J. quoting Voltaire today was not on my bingo card.
Dude, that was not also on my bingo card either.
Not on anybody's bingo
no,
card.
No, that was like the last. It's just, I mean, I don't even know how to, I actually can't respond to it because I just don't know how to.
Even on O.J.'s bingo card.
No, don't you be talking about what's on O.J.'s bingo card. If it doesn't fit, you must have quit. So, Chewbacca defense, come on. Adam Kinzinger, he's like, I'm trying to be nice and just taking everything I have. I'm not a fan of Adam Kinzinger. I don't have anything nice to say. I think he's a guy who likes to supplant controversy and drama for actual legislative accomplishment. If you can't sponsor bills and get anything through, then just be a brat and get attention for it. Because that's kind of what he does. He's been hopping around Liz Cheney because he desperately wants someone to appoint him to more positions of seniority within the conference. And I think that he believes the only way to do that is if he sucks up to the right person. Maybe it could be Cheney. Investors, maybe you. I mean, just, it's like the Step Brothers thing. Nobody got that. It's okay. It's all right. I'm just going to take my ball and go home. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms, pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
It's the Dana Show.
So Republicans are speaking right now to press. Kevin McCarthy from the House, Mitch McConnell from the Senate. I think McCarthy just came out of a meeting with Biden. Let's listen in.
Hearing around the country. From affordability.
Not to negotiate here, but you won't find any Republicans going to go raise taxes.
I think that's the worst thing you can do in this economy when you watch inflation. Your gas is going up. Remember, gas price today, national gas price, has not been this high since President Biden was vice president. You're watching food costs go up. You're watching housing costs, lumber costs. There is inflation and everywhere you go. Cars have not moved this high month over month to 10%. So raising taxes would be the biggest mistake you could make. Remember the economy we had when we lowered taxes, the 3.5% unemployment. You had everybody having opportunity regardless of where you were in America, some of the great best employment we have. So that to us is a non-starter. What we walked into the room with, where can we find agreement? And I felt that was productive. I felt all of us as leader and the president and the vice.
So we're going to continue following this. So apparently 130 rockets also were just launched into 130, just launched into Israel towards Ashkelon and three and two other cities. This is like, apparently minutes ago. So we'll bring you updates on that. There's tons of video coming in right now from everybody. Yeah, they're trying to overwhelm the Iron Dome. Absolutely. And you know what? The Iron Dome can't catch everything. So this and the Biden administration not saying anything about this. Remember, they opened up the spigot of funding towards Palestine again. Palestinians and Hamas. And no condemnation on this. And then they won't say anything about the Colonial Pipeline and the ransomware attack. Because the ransom... We got to talk about this. Stay with us. A lot of stuff coming up. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
That we don't have a fight between Republicans and Democrats anymore. We have a fight between Washington, D.C. and the rest of America. Just take this pipeline, Sean. That was an intelligence failure by the Biden administration, a total intelligence failure that is now impacting millions of people in the pocketbook. They've got to get it together. They've got to be held to account by the Washington media.
That's Rick Grenell, who I like. I like his politics a lot. And he makes a great point. It's an intelligence failure. It really is, with regards to with the Colonial Pipeline. Because now, did I tell you? They said 71%. Some reporter stated 71% of gas stations in the metro Charlotte area are out of gas.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Stop putting it into bags. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Subscribe to the newsletter chapter and verse. You kind of were a little overloaded last night, and that's okay. But you might be again today too. Not my fault. You signed up for it. So it's all the good stuff that I use for prep, everything. The stuff that you're not going to see anywhere else. Because unlike every other radio host out there, I'm the only person that does all my own research, including people who aren't on as many stations as I am in a podcast as in a radio show. So moving on. Rachel, make that face. Welcome back. I do have the biggest cigar. Thank you. Now, as we get moving on, this whole situation with... the pipeline and I don't know because some people have asked, you know, is there an ETA? Actually, I've gotten a lot of comments and some messages about that. You know as much as I do on that. They haven't said anything, and the administration hasn't moved to say anything else on this either. And they're too busy talking about Cheney. They were talking about Cheney during the presser. They were too busy because, you know, that's the big thing. What are Republicans doing with their conference chair that most people don't know what the hell does? Conference chair. Isn't that like Miss Congeniality of the GOP or something like that? I don't even know. Nobody cares. Just stop taking my money. Give me gas and oil. I love like dead dinosaurs that can power up my house and make it cool in Texas summers. Let's, you know, just make sure I don't run out of chicken wings. I mean, it's the little things in life. Which, by the way, I had a crazy story for you. Sidebar. We're going to go down here to Weirdville for just a moment. Okay. We're going to take a quick little detour to Weirdville. Chick-fil-A has a sauce shortage.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know why, but only Florida people sent me this link. Like four of you sent me this link just like in the past like 45 minutes. No joke. Chick-fil-A is facing a shortage of its beloved Chick-fil-A sauce. Do we even know what the sauce is?
I have a bottle of it at home.
Wait, what?
I do.
Where do you get a bottle? Did you steal it?
You can
it?
Buy it at the grocery store, actually. And you can actually
like
buy them
any
from,
grocery store?
I think so. I forget where I got this one. I think maybe Albertsons, Kroger. I forget. But, yeah, I have a... maybe my son got it. I don't remember. But it's in the fridge. I just saw it this morning.
Thanks for telling everybody that so they'll make a run on it. We appreciate that. Thanks, Kane. They said that the shortage is due to supply chain issues and labor shortages because the government's paying people to stay home. So it's affecting your ability to obtain the precious, which is the Chick-fil-A sauce. I don't even know what it is. I don't know what you could tell me that it's like ground up groundhog and I would still put it on everything. I'm exaggerating. It's not that. It's probably like tears of an angel. I don't know. Like mixed with ranch or something. I'm not quite sure. Which also came from angels. Did you guys know that? Angels invented ranch. You didn't know that? Now you do. And also wings, chicken wings. So they said due to industry-wide supply chain disruptions, some Chick-fil-A restaurants are experiencing the shortage, like sauces, and they apologize, and, you know, it's their pleasure. They apologize, and I just can't, I mean, this is, it's a sauce shortage. Thanks, Biden. This may actually do it. This may finally move people over into not voting for this dude again.
Wait a minute. So they don't have a chicken shortage. They have mm-hmm. a sauce shortage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're okay. Still. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a sauce shortage. I mean, what can't you not put? What can't you put that? It's like the everything bagel seasoning. Right. Like, what can you not put this stuff on? It goes on everything. Everything. Fries, even. Some delicious fries. So I'm not saying that I eat it all the time, but I'm just saying. You know, if you wanted to make a waffle fry sandwich with Chick-fil-A sauce, you could. So they said that the sauces are limited. They're not expecting chicken shortages that other companies are experiencing. So, yeah, and then they also said that Charlotte has seen a 71% of gas stations report that they are out of fuel. Mm-hmm.
But didn't Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm not say it's a shortage? Like, I have that audio in cut 20.
Yeah, it's, yeah, don't say shortage. Use another word that basically means shortage.
The fact that there's not a whole lot of other supply. Now, this particular pipeline also supplies other states, but there are other pipelines that supply other states as well. Mm. So there's more diversity in this particular region. That's where we're going to see the crunch. And this is why we are.
Crunch.
We know that we have gasoline. You know, we just have get it to the right places.
No, we don't. We don't have it.
It's a crunch.
It's a crunch. Yeah. So when you don't have something, it's called a crunch. Did you know that? Look at me not having $1 million. I'm crunched. Look at how much crunched I am. Wait, look at so much crunch.
How do you get gas from one place to the other?
Magic. Is the answer A, magic?
B, passenger pigeon. Or C, trucks. Pipelines.
You mean trucks that run on... gas?
Diesel.
What? So according to Gas Buddy, which tracks prices across the country, 78% of Greenville, Spartanburg, Asheville, Anderson stations, no gas. 72% of Raleigh-Durham stations, no gas. 71% of Charlotte stations, no gas. 69% of Greenville, New Bern, Washington stations, no gas. 65% of Norfolk, Portsmouth, and Newport stations, no gas.
It's quite the crunch. Yeah,
so they're crunched.
It's quite the crunch.
Mm-hmm. I am going to abuse that forever. This handy-dandy map, if you're watching the simulcast via the first, the red dots, this is where my friend Eric Erickson, who probably can't find gas, right. The red dots are no gas and the green dots are gas. There's a lot of no gas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's... And then remember, Jennifer Granholm said, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a crunch. It's a crunch. Nobody. I hope nobody's gas gouging. I hope nobody's price gouging. And I hope nobody else is putting gas in plastic bags. That'd be bad. Now, as all this is happening, inflation is real and it's happening. Have you guys heard of, I know. Inflation is speeding up. Consumer prices have leapt over 4% fastest since 2008. Oh, prices are jumping up. And it's the biggest 12-month increase since the summer of 2008. Food prices are up almost 3%. There's a 3.8% rise in the cost of restaurant meals and other meals away from home. What did they say? Car and truck rentals surged 82% compared with April 2020. Airline fees are up almost up about 10%. So, yeah, it's getting... The BLS and Consumer Price Index. Rick Santelli was talking about how the numbers were staggering. Bureau of Labor Statistics, a.k.a. BLS, they noted an almost 1% jump in the Consumer Price Index for April. That makes it over 4% increase, which is quite large. And CNBC says that higher prices for used autos surged 10%. NBC also discussed, they also cited supply issues. They said that consumer prices for April rose the most since September of 1981, an indication of soaring demand dovetailing with continued supply chain interruptions. This, according to BLS data that was released today. So, I mean, I think that there is, you know, definitely a demand, and I think that I think that there are obviously some issues with supply, but why did car sales go up? That's kind of, I mean, just, I'm just looking at some of this consumer behavior. Do you think that the demand is related to the STEMI checks? Is it a STEMI check demand? I'm curious because I'm just looking at some of this. The markets, though, over at, and this is Politico, they said markets flash inflation warnings. The Fed doesn't see it. White House isn't worried at all. Of course they're not. Do they even know where they are? Markets are clearly freaking out about the prospect for higher gas prices, potential sustained labor crunch. So the talking points have gone out, everybody. And the continued wide open fiscal and monetary policy to create an inflation shock. The Dow tanked around 500 points on Tuesday. Not a huge deal at only 1.4%. But it came down another day, there were others dropping the last several sessions, higher inflation, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, this is bad. None of this is good. So I would say you're going to see higher interest rates. Investors are terrified. And this administration, too, has not been proactive in dealing with anything. When they finally are prevailed upon to react to deal with something, it's very reactionary. Yeah, Psaki says, audio sound by 13, she says that this is all just transitory. Listen.
I will say, as we've said in here before, but we'll reiterate that, of course, we take the possibility of inflation quite seriously, as, you know, actions that have been taken to date or proposals that have been made. Most economic analysts have believed that it will have a temporary or transitory impact.
No, this is the largest increase with inflation in decades. I was 3 years old the last time it moved this much. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And this
my follow-up as a journalist would be, what gives you the impression this is transitory and temporary?
Exactly.
And nobody from the media does that.
No, nobody. Of course not. Nobody. You know why? Because they don't even understand it. They don't even understand it enough to know what questions to ask. That's why it's always the same garbage, every single presser, because you have people who don't know squat about the economy and they have zero idea what questions to ask because they don't even know what any of this stuff means. Inflation? What do you mean? What do you mean, food index? What's that? They have no idea what any of this stuff means. So do you honestly expect these people who spent most of their life as activists before they got a J school degree to ask the proper questions? No. I know we got a lot more on the way. Let me just give you a quick rundown. The latest with coronavirus, Rand Paul versus Fauci. The latest with Israel as well. Over 100 more rockets fired into Israel. Netanyahu threatens retaliation. How far is this going to go? I mean, this is getting pretty crazy. We'll talk about the left. They got Nazi trending on Twitter yesterday, partly because while Hamas was bombing Israel and hundreds of Marxists called me a Nazi because I simply noted that the New York Times was wrong to say that there weren't gas lines. Literally. You should go look at the responses of that if you're on Twitter, which I'm sorry if you are.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right. So when you don't act anymore, just rant about politics. And I like how they had to say Wedding Crashers, because I think it was the last thing that she was in. Wedding Crashers actress Ela Fisher claims she slams Mark Zuckerberg for making money off of lies that cost lives, and says Facebook spreads hate and misinformation. Now, she was the chick that was Vince Vaughn's romantic interest in Wedding Crashers, and she's married to what's-his-face, the guy who tried to trick us into going to D.C. for that thing. I can't even remember his name anymore. Sacha Cohen. Thank you. He tried to bore at us and trick us into, and we were like, no, I don't trust you immediately. Anyway, she wants a big government to regulate speech online. A shrunken head prop is actually a real ceremonial, and I can't pronounce this word, Santa? T-S-A-N-T-S-A? I don't know. It's a traditional memento made by Amazonian communities. They boil the head of an enemy slain during combat. And apparently, the head was found in the collection of Mercer University. It was acquired by a wealthy former faculty member in Amazonian Ecuador back in 1942. Before it could be repatriated, the Ecuador government needed it authenticated. Demand for these in the 19th century saw the production of lots of forgeries. And so I think it's crazy. But they actually used this thing in, like, it was a prop before. And it's a real thing. They just call them shrunken heads because it's probably easier to say than their actual name. But yeah, it actually is a real, like, they had this thing forever not knowing that it wasn't a forgery. And it was first loaned to, it was Wise Blood. It was a film that was made in Macon, Georgia. And it was actually in the movie as a prop. And there's one point where the woman is laying on a bed and she's got, like, her hand on it, not knowing that it's not a prop. I'm just saying, that's kind of, we're all creeped out by this. We are all entirely creeped out. Also, murder suspect, owner of a Bengal tiger, was arrested, but the illegally owned pet remains at large. It was spotted roaming a Houston neighborhood. CNN had Carol Baskin on to talk about it. I don't know who, did they verify who the murder suspect was first before having her on? I'm just curious about that. Just asking for a friend. We got a lot more in store, folks. Coming up, we got Law and Order stuff, the latest on Israel, and, of course, that GOP slap fight, too. Stick with us.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Because when you look at the supply chain, you look at China, they dominate the critical mineral supply and solar supply chains, all coming out of the Xinjiang province, which we believe is using slave labor to create these renewable energy sources. So my question to you is, how can you assure us or ensure that this quest that we're on, that slave labor coming out of China, where genocide is taking place as we speak, are never a part of the climate solution in the United States?
You're absolutely correct.
That mask.
Ranking Member McCall, it is a problem. Xinjiang province not only produces some of the solar panels that we believe are being, in some cases, produced in forced labor by Uyghurs, but also there are a significant amount of rare earth mineral that's used in the solar panels themselves. It is my understanding that the Biden administration is right now in the process of assessing whether or not that will be the target of sanctions. I've heard some discussion about it. I'm not privy to where that decision is at this point in time. But I can tell you that nothing can be traded. And I've made that very clear. President Biden's made it very clear. Climate is existential for everybody on the planet. We have to deal with it.
And well, I mean, I'm not going to get involved.
Because China is nearly 30% of all the emissions on the planet. China's got to be part of the solution.
Nobody's ever asked them to go to the table. Nobody ever holds them responsible. I mean, that's kind of unbelievable. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Yeah, he's asked, okay, well, how are you going to be sure that slave labor isn't going to be incorporated into this? Because, I mean, where do you think, I mean, why do you think that when you have a country like China that's able to completely go go past, for instance, any kind of environmental regulations or any, I mean, anything else. I mean, they're able to do what they do and be and have a monopoly on this because they don't have environmental protections or protections for workers or anything like that. That's why. But he goes, but he does admit that they're being made by Uyghur slaves in China. He admits it. He completely admits this. He's like, oh, well, it's not my place to go. So, I mean, essentially, you're stating that, yes, you want to move the United States towards utilizing slave labor. Because when in the Green New Deal and Biden's energy policy and all of these require all of these things that are made in China. I mean, what do you think that... You know, the stuff for the lithium that's in, you know, electric car batteries and, you know, so many other things. I mean, that's, you know, that's incredibly significant. I mean, all of these rare earth elements. I really think that people don't understand where their stuff comes from. I mean, they, like with mining, like so many issues that with regards to mining, not just with China, but also the human treatment aspect of it in Africa. I mean, this, the idea that switching to, it's virtue signaling without actually helping anybody. I mean, there's been so many studies about this, like cobalt. What is it? Like cobalt's like $35,000 per ton. Very, very expensive. 60% of it comes from the, Democratic Republic of Congo. And most of it, actually, a lot of it's done by children. I mean, that's documented. That's not like anything that's up for. In fact, let me pull this up. There was a huge series that was done, of course, by international media, where they looked at the United Nations Children's Fund, UNICEF, and they estimated that 40,000 children were working in cobalt mines. They're trying to work really, really hard for your Green New Deal, President, Mr. President. They're working really hard. And there's zero environmental protections. And there's tons of video. The CBS had video showing children washing cobalt ore in a river. This would be so illegal done in the United States. It's crazy. Yeah, it's a huge, and they have the mine production. I mean, the Democratic Republic of Congo, they lead the way. United States is like at the bottom of the list. This is like one example of this. And so and then cobalt poisoning. Yeah, it would be so super illegal if it was done here in the United States, but it's not. Nobody cares. The CBS investigation, they found child labor, like, again, according to the United Nations, 40,000 kids, around 40,000 kids. Child labor used in mining of cobalt in Democratic Republic of Congo. It's used virtually in all batteries, cell phones, laptops, especially electric vehicles. Amnesty International was the one that first revealed that cobalt was mined by children was ending up in a number of products from a number of companies. And really, I mean, when you look at the green tech and you look at electric vehicles, this is where this is coming from. Do you think that because you're exporting your pollution out of the United States that you're greener? I don't see the pollution, so it doesn't exist. I don't know her. You think that that's not how it works. Not at all how it works. Yeah, do you think that as long as you're not utilizing slave labor in the United States and it's just elsewhere, that it's not slave labor? It's only slave labor if it's in the United States. It's okay if it's the Uyghurs in China. That's still slave labor. It's still child labor in Democratic Republic of Congo. This is what I don't understand. Why do people think it's greener? I mean, if people are going to get electric cars, they're going to get electric cars. But please stop acting like you're going to virtue signal over all of us and act like you're somehow better for the environment than the rest of us. The rest of us ain't using. We're not using stuff that was made by child labor or slave labor. I'm very particular about buying American. So this is what I'm talking about. When you look at these green energy mandates, this is what the administration's proposals are going to wed us to all the more. There will be more of this. If you're talking about getting rid of all gas-powered vehicles by a certain period of time, when we have fossil fuels that are plentiful, we are obtaining them in a way that is non-destructive to the surrounding environment. We came up with ways to transport them, pipelines that don't run off the rails or, you know, get into wrecks or run into those kinds of problems. But they're rejected for more dangerous solutions by so-called climate activists every single time. That's what I don't understand. This isn't about climate. It's about control. It's the pretend solution to a problem that America really actually does have a pretty good handle on. But you have these like very entitled people who think, well, just because I am not personally engaging in the pollution, it really means that it doesn't exist. You know that, right? Those people over there are doing it. I'm just purchasing the product that is the result of their pollution. But I'm not actually engaging in the pollution, so I'm not polluting. Yeah, it's not how any of this works. Not at all. And we're going to talk about that more coming up too, because I mean, there you had the New York Times that came out with a piece that said our electric car is going to become an environmental catastrophe. Yes, they will. Absolutely. I mean, when you're looking at getting rid of the internal combustion engine and going all electric, absolutely. The environmental dangers, the New York Times even raised issues with mining. They talked about the production of raw materials like lithium, cobalt, and nickel. They're essential to all these technologies. They're absolutely ruinous to land, water, wildlife, and people. According to the New York Times, they said mining for these things, it's the dirtiest business that's out there. Of course it is. And there's even a project called Lithium Americas that Native Americans have been protesting against. You know, by the way, for the party that is so concerned about Native Americans that, you know, they're trying to rewrite history, they didn't put them on the trail of genocide and keep them on land that they can't even actually purchase via reservations, but I digress. Where no media attention has been given to the indigenous American nations that have protested lithium mining or such projects here in the United States. Like there's a fight over a Nevada mine. Interesting how nobody's been talking about the indigenous Americans in that story, right? Because that mine needs to be up to produce elements that fulfill the Green New Deal. But nobody's going to talk about the protest of indigenous Americans in Nevada because it doesn't go with the narrative. See, people on the left will listen to Native Americans so long as listening to Native Americans is advantageous to their narrative. So that works. I know I have so much. I could sit here and actually do an entire show on just this issue because hydrogen conversion compared to electric storage systems. I mean, there are so many comparisons here and discussions to have about this. But when you have the New York Times and then later on CNN did something too, we'll talk about that. Maybe people should kind of, you know, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do good to the planet, but there is something wrong with buying into false claims of how to do it. And then even though it's actually worse off, look down your nose and be ignorant to everyone else who does not agree that you're more polluting your way of greater pollution is better for the environment than, you know, what we've been doing. Good heavens. So we're going to get into that as well. Also, a couple other things and I want to make sure we get into as we were saying, we were talking about the latest with speaking of gas, the Colonial Pipeline. There's a state by state breakdown. They said Virginia, North Carolina, and Georgia are the hardest hit with these fuel outages. Eww.
Surprising.
Yeah, just a private sector thing. You know, it's just only 45% of the fuel that's consumed by the entire Eastern Seaboard. That's all. Maybe when it hits the New York metro area and people can't get their DoorDash deliveries, then they'll get upset. You think?
Just a crunch.
Just a crunch. It's just a crunch. So they said, there's one petroleum analyst who said that the demand is soared by over 14% and that it's going to probably get worse. They said that stations may be out of fuel. There's slight outages at rack level, but it's turning into not enough truck drivers to get at their story, possibly. But this, I mean, like I have no idea when it's going to be back up. Kemp signed an executive order to suspend the gas tax temporarily in Georgia. Yeah, good for him. Maybe keep it suspended. That'd be great. I would love to, you know, just keep it suspended. That'd be awesome. And we'll see more. I know we're going to see more lawmakers add to this. People are saying, please do not go. And like Governor Harry McMaster of South Carolina, he was saying, please do not price gouge. He said that those laws are in effect. Transportation waivers, all of this is in effect. There's no need to rush to top off your tanks or hoard gas. They said the pipeline is expected to resume operations by the end of the week. Now, is it, though? That's the question. Is it, though? And I'm not trying to undermine what he's saying here, but I mean, why is it that all of these other governors and all of these other states are responding to this decision that is now creating a national issue, but the president is nowhere to be found? If this was Trump, I'd be asking the same thing. I mean, you don't have the president of the United States out in front of this? Audio soundbite 10 before we get going. This is Kudlow on this issue. And you know what? He's not wrong. I've heard this from another number of other experts, including an editorial that just posted. Listen to this.
Gasoline prices are up about 12 cents in the last week. That's according to AAA. They're the best on that. I think the big issue here with Continental is this is the ransomware. They're the ones who were cyber hacked. If Continental can't get back into business by Friday, experts tell me all bloody hell is going to break loose.
Yep. Yep. And he is not wrong there.
The Dana Show, sponsored by 30 years of game-changing Kel-Tec innovation, like the P50, a new breed of pistol. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right, so this comes by way of the Chronicle. Florida man stabbed with a swordfish in a fight. This is in Madeira Beach. There were two Florida dudes who were, I mean, for real, apparently they were fighting near a dock and near Madeira Beach, Florida's Gulf Coast. And somebody got hit with a beer bottle. Someone else got stabbed in the abdomen with a sharp detached bill of a swordfish. That's actually not a bad improvised weapon, but I'm saying don't attack people. Okay, don't be goofy. I had to share that one. Apparently both people were held without bond. There's not a lot of information because I guess they don't have the police report yet, but I'm fascinated by this. Florida man's wanted for stealing a trove of Lynyrd Skynyrd memorabilia, y'all. Woo! I do like me some Skynyrd. This New York Post. This free bird could wind up in a cage after stealing about $12,000 worth of Lynyrd Skynyrd memorabilia in Florida. 38-year-old William James Walker. Do you use a bowl to cut your hair? He's wanted for the theft of a trailer filled with rock relics. They were intended to be sold for charity. The trailer disappeared from the parking lot of a Days Inn hotel, like right before they were going to be auctioned off at this benefit. It was the Jimmy Van Zandt benefit in Middleburg, and it was honoring Jimmy Van Zandt. Skynyrd's got Lynyrd Skynyrd, a cousin of Donnie and Johnny and Ronnie. And they included irreplaceable mementos like a Les Paul guitar sung by Greg Allman, Brian Howe, Butch Trucks, and others. I know. They said it's stuff that cannot be replaced. So they had obtained an arrest warrant for one guy and they charged him with felony grand theft. But Florida man, speaking of that last word I said there, which was a conjunction, a Florida man hid cocaine in his during a Monday morning DUI arrest. Collier County, Florida, 48-year-old Lakeland man was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. Marty Martinez, 48. Well, they had to check him, and he did have something in where the sun doesn't shine. That's a true story. He He's totally in jail. I don't think he made bond. Stay with us.
These kids do not need to be wearing these masks, okay? I'm sorry, they don't. We need to be able to let them be kids and let them act normally. And that's what should be the case in the fall throughout the school year.
Ron DeSantis is right. Yep. Governor Ron DeSantis. He's absolutely right. Let the kids take the masks off. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Oh my goodness, it's a crazy, crazy, crazy day, and we have a lot to discuss. All right, so first up, we've been following everything with regards to the ongoing bombing of Israel by Hamas. I wanted to mention this just because I caught wind of like how awful the comments have gotten. So Gal Gadot, who is Wonder Woman and is a great action star, and she's an IDF veteran, by the way. And she's Israeli, and apparently, I think, aren't they based in Tel Aviv? I think she's based in Tel Aviv. So she put up on Instagram, and she put it up on Twitter, too. She wrote, quote, "My heart breaks. My country's at war. I worry for my family and my friends. I worry for my people. This is a vicious cycle that has been going on for far too long. Israel deserves to live as a free and safe nation. Our neighbors deserve the same. I pray for the victims and their families. I pray for this unimaginable hostility to end. I pray for our leaders to find the solution so that we could live side by side in peace. I pray for better days." Oh, my gosh. And even though she limited her, like, who could reply, the remarks to her have been heinous. Here's the thing. If you wouldn't bomb Israel, they wouldn't have to retaliate. Shocking thing. So she's trending on Twitter, Gal Gadot, because people are mad that she's an IDF veteran and she supports Israel. Yeah. So, and I how much do you want to bet that they're going to try to push her to get canceled or something from? Yeah, I'm telling you. So it's sad. It's sad to see. And people apparently don't understand cause and effect. It's absolute cause and effect. I mean, there were instances where Hamas was killing their own people because, I mean, there's a video of Hamas like storing rockets in these residential areas. And then what they would do is they tried to use a vulnerable place to launch them so out of fear of killing innocent civilians, they would use those people as human shields so Israel wouldn't strike back. And there was one building that the IDF took out with a strike, and that was where, I guess, Hamas's central command was. And they evacuated the building. They told the civilians to get out, and they gave them enough time to evacuate. So innocents were not in the building. But I don't know how this is going to end up, if it's going to end up in a full on ground war or not. But it would be really, really great if some of the Republicans could stop, you know, lusting over power so much that they could maybe address it, or maybe the president even. Yeah. The longer this Cheney slap fight goes on, the more I hate everybody involved. The more I have zero tolerance, patience, or like for any of these individuals. Because this has been going on for quite some time. And ultimately, as I was saying earlier in the show, this is all about the Abraham Accords. And it's about Iran, who funds Hamas. They're mad because the Abraham Accords went around Iran and Palestinians to have this agreement and this normalization of relations with all of these other Arab states. And, you know, as a result of that, you have embassies that are open. They have embassies open in each other's countries, and business is increasing, and communications and diplomats in each other's countries. And that's what you would want, is normalized relations. But Iran wants to be, because they've had this, you know, this battle between different sects of Islam, they want to be the dominant power and the dominant influencer in the area, but they have to go up against UAE and Saudi Arabia. And so this Abraham Accords, it threatens their potential for dominance. Hamas has threatened hell. They've had cross-border raids, and there were some people who were going and burning down like Jewish homes and all kinds of stuff. And Netanyahu threatened more retaliation. There was one photo that came out. This is just heartbreaking. where, and I've seen a lot of, like, a lot of the people there were putting this out, nurses had to evacuate newborns out of a hospital and go and shelter. And there was a story of a woman who, actually several, there are a number of female reporters that I follow who are based in Israel, and they were having to just grab their kids and race to a bomb shelter. And if they didn't have a bomb shelter, they had to get to, you know, the next best thing. And this is also an instance where these rockets from Hamas have never before gone so far in. And you have this, you know, the Iron Dome that's not able to capture everything, not able to take out everything. And I think that that's by demand. And I have to tell you something, you know, all of these headlines and then the headlines with the Colonial Pipeline and the hacking and the ransomware attack that was taken out against the Colonial Pipeline. When the headlines are Republicans and fighting with each other and Democrats trying to spin away the discussion of inflation, I have to say something about particularly the Republican behavior on this. Liz Cheney continuing with this now and other Republicans continuing with this now is one of the biggest limousine Republican indulgent champagne taste things that I've ever seen in my life. It needs to be said. It's inexcusable. If this is how you want to get more sassy Republican base voters, this is how you get it. I mean, you have rockets. I mean, there's our ally in the Middle East is on the brink of full on war. What do you think? I want everyone to just stop for a second. What do you think is going to happen? First off, if that ends up taking place, how is this going to work out? You have Iran and Hamas. Iran would love to use Hamas as a proxy to destabilize and neutralize Iran with regards to these Abraham Accords, because those accords undercut their power. Hamas just wants to undercut Israel. They're happy to be used as a tool by Iran. What do people think is going to happen if it gets to that point? You think things are getting unstable now? President McUnity is nowhere to be found. He's not remarking on any of this. Barely 100 days and all hell's broken loose. You have Mr. Teresa Hines, who's out there flying around lecturing everybody on climate change while in a private jet. I'm surprised he hasn't taken James Taylor over there to go and play on the beaches in the Med. I'm surprised. I mean, it's just unbelievable to watch this. And then there's this big fight with Republicans. I mean, it's just so indulgent and tone deaf. We'll talk more about that. I have a few other things to get into as well. And I want to make sure. I wanted to talk about this clip real quick. As a Missourian and a Cards fan, this guy, So I first saw the video on Twitter, and then I went and ran it down. And this piece has to do with, this was a bar in Osage, Missouri. And there was this, I mean, it looked like a bartender was refusing to serve it was called Lodo Lounge. And it looked like the bartender was refusing to serve these people who showed a military ID because he didn't think their military ID was real. And police ended up verifying the ID and all of that stuff. And it was bad. And you can see, you can see some of the video. I mean, he cusses like every other word. This was done on May 2nd. And he was behind the bar at Lodo Lounge. Osage Beach Police Lieutenant Michael O'Day confirmed that no arrests were made. They were called out to the scene. They were made aware of the situation. They retrieved the guy's ID and they confirmed, yes, it is valid. I mean, he tried to destroy government property, this guy behind the bar, because he didn't think that the ID was real. And the guy who was behind the bar acting as a bartender, Josh Whitecamp, he was given an ID by a member of the military, and then he denied its validity. He said that someone wouldn't be able to scrape off the front of a military ID. And the guy was like, it's a valid ID. And so then he starts like insulting him and arguing with him and trying to have like this phallus measuring contest with the guy. And Lodo Lounge responded to the video in a now deleted post. They said that we at Lodo Lounge deeply regret the events of May 2nd. We want to stress we have tremendous respect for military members and their service to our country. Josh Whitecamp is not a bartender at Lodo Lounge. Why was he there? He's a local musician who has personal ties to the venue. He is extremely remorseful for his actions, and we are working to make amends with the military members involved. We'll do our best to reach out privately to those individuals and publicly convey our appreciation to all military members in the future. I mean, it's like we can't. I mean, every other word out of this guy's mouth was, you know, blank this, blank that. So it's bad. It is such a bad video. And the guy was, and there's several videos of it. He called the police on these military members because the guy wanted his ID back. He's like, I have to have my military ID, and he wouldn't give it back to him. He like crumpled it up, tried to break it and crumple it up and put it in the trash. He wouldn't give it back to him. So they had to call the police. And the guy, Noel Cook, was one of the veterans. And he goes, myself and five other military friends were at Lodo Lounge where this drunk bartender started to destroy somebody's military ID because he used to be a cop and knows what an ID is supposed to look like. He bent her card because it was a female's card, threw it in the trash, wouldn't let us retrieve it and just leave. So he tells us to call the cops. And he said one of the bartenders was urging us to call the cops. And she also called the cops because she realized it was getting out of hand. And he goes, I've never been more heated about a non-racial interaction with someone and the straight disrespect that he had for fellow service members, especially when some of us joined the military because of 9/11 and how it shaped up our upbringing. And he goes, I hope you see this, Josh Whitecamp, and know that your actions that night speak that will define you as a person. I don't know if the guy's actually how it's responded, but Ryan Voss, the Ryan Voss band, I don't know who these people are. They apparently, that's the band that this guy was in, kicked him out. They had like this long thing, and he was like, I grew up near a military base, and he's not in this band anymore. So he's out. He's out of the band. He was such a jerk about it. It was over the top. This isn't just like cancel culture. Like, this guy was belligerent and almost like he was like challenging them to fight him. It was one of the most ridiculous. Take off that damn Cards jersey. You are unworthy. He's a Cubs fan in disguise. That guy, take off your Cardinals jersey. You're going to besmirch God's team. How dare you wear that jersey? Take it off. Not in front of us. Go back somewhere where we can't see you. Nobody wants to see a bro without a bro, right? So, no, go. That made me mad watching that video.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Cryptocurrency is now worth more than all of U.S. currency in circulation. Experts are warning that it could be a sign of a bubble. They said it hit a valuation of $2 trillion on April 29th, according to the Wall Street Journal. It's about the same valuation as all U.S. dollars in circulation, but it has since hit as high as something like $2.25 trillion. Also, if your website has a pop-up ad, the reason that you don't want me as president is because I'll jail you and your entire family for having a pop-up ad on your stupid, crappy website. Welcome to 2021. Quit putting that stupid, panhandling stuff up on websites. I can't stand it. Family members discover the human remains while clearing out their dead father's house. Did they use pop-up ads on their websites? I'm pretty sure maybe that's why they got there. A post-mortem examination began on... I don't give a crap when it began. They found somebody dead, a dead body in a house that they were cleaning out. Was it the father that did it? I don't know. It sounds like an Inside Number 9 episode. It's either that or Black Mirror. It's all I really watch anymore. This all happened on May 8th in Maine. So there you go. I already lost interest in this story. Moving on, pollen is tormenting people and it could be getting worse, and it's also poorly measured. I'm so glad that I went to an allergist and paid lots of money to get allergy testing and also get all these allergy drops and everything else because I'm allergic to every plant that puts out spores and stuff out into the atmosphere. They said that grasses are awakening, pollen's getting worse. And they said that, and really, it's measured actually very, very poorly. How is it measured poorly? I just look outside and I'm like, how much yellow is on the ground? That's bad. And then I stay inside. It's kind of how I look at it. It's like the Dana Groundhog reference, right? That's the measure that you can have. Also, let's see here. A distracted nurse gave a woman 6 doses of coronavirus vaccine in a single shot. The woman's fine. It didn't do anything to her. She just got another head that sprouted out of the space between her neck and shoulder. No, that didn't happen. She apparently is okay, but University of Florida had actually reported on this. A 23-year-old Italian woman was mistakenly given 6 doses of the Pfizer vaccine all at once. She did not have any adverse reactions. And I don't know how that happened. She was kept under observation for 24 hours and she was given fluids and anti-inflammatory and blah, 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 blah. She's fine. That's the headline. TLDR, she's fine. That's what happened. We have a lot still on the way. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt joins us on over anti-science same page and his ridiculous coronavirus restrictions. Stop it, people. Listen to science. Stay with us.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, we know people are going to do this. If you're going to do it, please accept this recommendation. This is a blanket. Walk outside and wear a mask. You're vaccinated and everybody else is in the room is vaccinated, but you're wearing a mask. The American people have just lost patience with us. But you guys, I just ask you to just kind of be aware of their frustration and get a little real time into updating these things.
Mm-mm-mm. He's not wrong. That's Senator Cassidy to the CDC director, Walensky, saying people are just losing patience. You know, get a little real-time info updating this stuff. And that's the thing. And I have all kinds of audio here. You even have Seth Meyers, who is talking about all of this stuff and saying that, you know, the goalposts keep moving constantly. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dana Lash. Now, as you know, my home state of Missouri and St. Louis, Maya and Kane's hometown, we've been kind of watching just how the St. Louis County, their county executive, Sam Page, he has been very, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't sound like he's following science too closely. Like, he's the guy who's basically like, don't even look at each other because, you know, could be transmitted through glances. I mean, maybe I'm slightly exaggerating, but who knows really anymore, right? And so there has been a huge fight against his restrictions and just further government control, because St. Louis County, even as every other area was opening up around them, they really weren't. So now there is a lawsuit. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt filed suit against St. Louis County Executive Sam Page, and not just him, but also St. Louis County Department of Public Health and Dr. Faisal Khan for arbitrary, capricious, unreasonable application of these restrictions throughout the county, specifically the restrictions that they've had on religious institutions, masking in schools, and just really pre-approval for events and wearing masks outdoors. I mean, we all know the CDC what their positions were on that. And joining us right now is Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt to discuss this lawsuit. Attorney General, it's good to speak with you. Thank you for joining the program. He joins by phone. I mean, it's sad that this is just the route that you or anyone has to go down just to kind of force some normalcy in, even in keeping with CDC guidance. I just don't understand what Paige thinks the science is on this. Tell us about this.
Yeah, it's great to be back with you, Dana. Yeah, essentially the message here is, you know, enough is enough. A few weeks ago, we sent a letter to St. Louis County and Sam Page and the County Health Department asking for, you know, an explanation and what scientific evidence and what data they have for these continued extreme restrictions. I mean, there's 115 counties in Missouri. Over 100 counties have no restrictions at all, right? And their numbers are lower in many instances than St. Louis County. So for some justification here, and not only did they completely ignore the request for justification, they tried to kind of pull a bait and switch and they issued an amended order that didn't do that much. And so after we reviewed the order, it became clear that they, you know, given the number of typos and grammatical errors and blatant inconsistencies, that they rushed this thing out the door to try to appease us and avoid litigation, and they did not. So yesterday we filed a lawsuit against the county. And there's three big claims here. One is that it's infringing on people's, you know, religious freedom to exercise their religion in a way that they see fit, the ability for people to associate with one another in groups, and then also just all the other restrictions on businesses and other activity that were that, you know, there's no justification for and were, you know, arbitrary and capricious. And a couple of examples of that. So in St. Louis County today, you can sit, they're treating churches differently than other businesses. For example, you can sit next to a stranger on a bus, but you can't sit next to a neighbor in a church pew, right? So they're treating it in, you know, so people's fundamental rights are being violated as it relates to their, you know, practicing the religion. Also in St. Louis County today, you know, in May of 2021, not May of 2020, you have to seek the government's permission to have a barbecue with friends. If you want to have a class reunion
in your own yard?
Well, yeah. I mean, outside of your family or your pod, you know, all these ridiculous concepts that are still exist. And so, you know, like if you want to have a gathering and a class reunion or something like that, you've got to fill out a 23, you know, point questionnaire, submit it to the government for their approval. It's totally ridiculous. And then you've got all these other restrictions, an outdoor mask mandate. They're still talking about kids wearing masks in schools, where this is more about virtue signaling than it is about science. The New York Times, I think yesterday, even had a story about how the CDC, you know, saying up to 10%. But what's the real transmission outside? It's more like 0.1%. You know, so just if they talk about the science all the time, but they refuse to follow the science. And that's where we're at. So we filed a lawsuit to open up St. Louis County, which for your viewers and listeners, you know, it's a million people. It's the biggest county in the state. There's one in six people in Missouri reside in St. Louis County. So enough's enough.
We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, and I'm looking at they reopen STL because it's at STL Corona, which sounds like it's a lot more fun than it is. But their face covering requirements that they have are kind of insane. And by kind of, I mean a lot. They said face coverings must be worn indoors at all times by fully vaccinated and unvaccinated person. Well, wait. Vaccinated too? And they said that if they're a person, including employees or visitors over the age of 5, present at any business or public accommodation. Just on this alone, I remember the CDC discussion, particularly after they were confronted by all of these studies. Some of them, I think there was a Danish study that came out. There were some from Northeastern universities here in the United States. And they were discussing how children are not physically mature enough to where the receptors within their respiratory systems can even contain, for the lack of a better way to put it, this virus and thus transmit it. So it's silly. I know that the CDC for plane travel and all of that, we're saying 2 and under doesn't have to wear. But even starting at 5, have these people met a 5-year-old?
Well, as a dad of young kids, I can tell you that I know how difficult that is. And the most important point here is it's not based on science anymore. Like, if it ever was, or they claimed it to be, we know a lot more now a year into this. But they refuse to, and what this is really all about, as you know, Dana, this is about control. They don't want to relinquish the control, right, the ability to have that press conference, you know, to parade out, you know, what everybody has to do. You have to listen to us, and you have to actually get our permission to go about living your daily lives. And people have had enough of this, and there's no justification for it. And they won't even tell you, St. Louis County won't even tell you, when's this going to end? Because we asked them that. What's the criteria for you to actually lift these restrictions? No answer. So you could have, you know, this is not supposed to go on in perpetuity. People were much, a year ago, willing to make sacrifices. We didn't know what this was. People wanted to stop, you know, the spread and all that. But now we are, we know a lot more. We're a year into this. Kids don't need to wear masks in school. People don't need to wear masks when they're walking by people on a sidewalk. You don't need the government's permission to have a barbecue. And you certainly don't, you know, being able to sit by a stranger on a bus and not be able to sit by somebody you don't know at church is discriminatory in one of our claims in this lawsuit as well.
Yeah, we're speaking with Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt. I was reading these orders that were put out by the St. Louis County Department of Health, Public Health Director, Dr. Faisal Khan, and he's one of the individuals named in this suit that's being brought on by the state that you had filed. And you're right. I mean, in looking at this, it just says, oh, well, these are going into effect on May 3rd, and they're just going to continue until amended or rescinded. There's nothing in here anywhere on this website that actually lists, like, hey, well, at what point will this be lifted? Because the way that I'm reading it right now, it's still required for all businesses, and businesses have to they're required to post a sign. So if people do not comply with this. What is the penalty? I mean, are they, is Sam Page and Dr. Khan here, are they going as far as California and trying to cite people? What is the penalty if they don't follow these?
Yeah, they've empowered the prosecuting attorney of St. Louis County to actually, you know, cite people for these things. And, I mean, this is just where it becomes like this dystopian reality that nobody buys into. I think even people on the left are kind of coming. You mentioned Seth Meyers. People are coming to the realization like, hey, this is, I mean, it's really ridiculous. When you read through, I'm glad you're reading through because most people haven't read through it. It's just, it makes no sense anymore. It's totally detached from reality. It's about virtue signaling at this point, you know, and not about the science. And
well,
look,
and not to interrupt you, but to that point, I have a note in here because I was looking at this earlier. There's one sentence in section in subsection six. This is section three, subsection six. I can't believe it's like that, like onerous. It says cloth face coverings are recommended for the general public over surgical or N95 respirators, which should be reserved for medical professionals and first responders. We have talked about cloth coverings on this program, sir. I mean, ad nauseum. And we have examined, I have so many studies that I have saved. They don't do anything. It's basically just a face diaper. They do nothing. So if this really was about containing the virus or limiting spread, like, why wouldn't that? I mean, we don't have a shortage of N95s or surgical masks anymore. So why are they, that doesn't make sense to me either.
No, and it's like when, you know, when Texas lifted the statewide mask mandate, you know, and Joe Biden says, well, you know, I think he referred to as a bunch of Neanderthals. Well, those cases plummeted, right? I mean, Texas, they loosened or got rid of the restrictions altogether, and the cases are down. The cases are down everywhere. You know, people, over half the population in Missouri now has received at least one dose of the vaccine. That is, doesn't even mention or take into account the people who are naturally becoming, you know, immune. So whether it's, you know, herd immunity, close to herd immunity, the reality is it's a different era, it's a different time now. And these local governments, in particular Missouri, because Missouri really, you know, the governor said, look, the local counties can make, cities can make a lot of these determinations. St. Louis County at this point, the most populous county, is an outlier. And they just refuse to let go of this control that they have, this outsized control they have over people's lives. And it's got to stop. And, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job as the chief law enforcement and legal officer of the state of Missouri, representing 6 million people. I swore an oath to defend the Constitution and enforce the laws of Missouri, to come in here and try to, you know, advocate on behalf of the million people in St. Louis County that are under the thumb of this really restrictive regime.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you're doing something about it. And of course, for those who don't know, the Attorney General is also seeking that open Senate seat with now outgoing Senator Roy Blunt. Well, I'm glad that you're doing something about this and pushing against it instead of going on an apology tour talking about past transgressions of how you lost the governor's mansion the first time around. So I'm pleased that I'm pleased to see some positive action to this. So we appreciate you being on. Please. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
We will. Well, no, we'll keep you in the loop. And you know, we've taken a lead on pushing back against the Biden administration and their overreach of government. And we're going to do the same with local government. That's my job. And I want to take that same fighting spirit to the United States Senate. So it's always good catching up with you, Dana.
That's good. That's fantastic to hear. Attorney General Eric Schmidt from the Show Me State, my home state of Missouri. Sir, it was a pleasure talking with you. Keep us updated about this suit, and we'll talk again soon. Take care.
Will do. Take care.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Oh, man. I just saw this graph, this graphic that the Washington Post put out, and they actually titled it, "Inflation looks even tamer after removing the effects of volatile gasoline and food prices." Yeah, just get rid of the food and gas, guys, and the inflation goes away. Wait a minute. Does that mean that we won't be eating or going places? Yes, that's true. But if you just get rid of these things, it's not the economy, but it's the economy. This is so, woo boy.
That's our media.
That's our media, everybody. That is our media. God bless America. And then, of course, in Britain, I ran out of time to bring this up because I was going to actually use this as a jumping off point for another question with Attorney General Eric Schmidt. But it said, Britain says they're on track to return to normalcy. On May 17th, hugging and kissing will be allowed again. But don't keep your faces too close together for very long.
How are you going to hug and kiss?
It's just, I don't know, like, is there like a period of time when heads can like be near each other? Can they be in each other's like orbit? Yeah. How does really you? So whenever you hear anybody from Britain try to lecture you about firearm ownership, I want you to refer to them to this headline. You guys are allowed to hug and kiss again, but oh, wait, not now. There's still 5 more days. 5 more days and you can hug people again, asterisk. Just don't keep your heads too close together for an indefinite period of time. That's all. I mean, this is almost as a good idea as the free knife boxes that they had on all their street corners. You remember that? And then they had Cookie Monster on the side of one, as though that was going to be more encouraging. I don't know if it was to scare the criminals away or to like lull adults into feeding their steak knives into Cookie Monster's mouth in the free knife bin. Just not. Oh, man. No, they said 2 households of any size or 6 people from separate homes will be allowed to come together in pubs and homes now. That's.
Thank you, government.
Thank you, government. We're so happy the government says we can show affection again. Yay. They're calling it friendly contact.
Oh, is that what it is?
I'm like, I have so many questions. What about slapping people? Does that work too? Is that friendly? But can we slap people? Is that allowed?
I'd say that's safer. It's really quick.
Yeah. Why hug and kiss? You just hit somebody. We don't take us seriously, but maybe do. And because everybody sucks, we have to say don't take us seriously so we don't get sued because some blockhead out there. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, as though that wasn't it. Yeah, exactly. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm says, that's not a gas shortage, you guys, just a crunch.
Just a crunch.
There's not a whole lot of other supply. Now, this particular pipeline also supplies other states, but there are other pipelines that supply other states as well, so there's more diversity in this particular region. That's where we're going to see
crunch.
The crunch.
Oh,
and this is why we know that we have gas.
I'm crunched.
71% of people without gas in the lower, you know, states.
It's just a crunch, guys.
Southeast.
Just a little crunch.
They know it's a shortage.
Yeah, no, it's a crunch, right? Yeah, crunch. Just like it's not a crisis, it's a situation. Like Jersey Shore, right? Folks, God bless. I'll be on Tucker Carlson's program tonight. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.